Aren't you glad the battle belongs to him? I wouldn't even know where to start. But he's already won the battle. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back with you again tonight. Hallelujah. I understand Sister Simmons is with us, and we certainly do welcome her back. And she's had to be tested now since she traveled by plane, and so Brother Merritt, Sister Joyce are at home with her, and trust that the test will come out. It's the only negative that we want to hear. We want to be positive about the negative. Brother Andy ministered in Glendale last week at Brother Bryant Dufick's church, and then he was told after the fact that somebody that was sitting on the front row had tested positive. So Andy is self-quarantining along with his family, and of course we're a fellowshipping church, and so Salinas has got together with him, and so they're quarantining. But we're trusting probably tomorrow he'll hear the result of that test. So far, there's no symptoms, so we're thankful for that. But we do appreciate everybody's diligence. As you probably know, and if you don't know, you need to know. We are ramping back up in terms of number of cases, and now it's all over the country. So, states that seemed like they were being bypassed, it just wasn't flu season yet. Temperatures drop, people go inside, and that's when that flu really thrives. And of course, the other side of it too is that heat is damaging to the virus, and so quit complaining about the heat. Talking to myself. they're like in Illinois today, I think there were 10,000 new cases, all across the northern states, the Midwest, and all across the country. The cases are ramping up. So, if you're planning on traveling, you might want to rethink that during this time. Not telling you not to do it, but, you better be led of the Lord to do whatever it is that you do, and then just take the precautions, the necessary precautions. But I just want to remind everybody, some of you are probably thinking, we heard this, and why do we got to hear it every time? It's because we got to hear things over and over. We still have some of you coming and saying, oh, I didn't know that, and it's something that we've been saying every service just about. So it shows that we need to repeat things, and that's not to be critical of anybody for missing it, but that's letting you know why we are continuing to bring it to your attention. And we're thankful for the Lord's goodness and his protection, and we'll just keep on pressing on. I believe he saw this before the foundation of the world, don't you? The Evening Light, Part 4, John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'd like to read something from the commentaries here for just a moment, if you'll bear with me. This is from the pulpit commentary. The divine armor, it is so called because God provides each individual part of it. It is an armor for offense as well as defense. It's forged on no earthly anvil, and it's tempered by no human skill. This divine armor we are not required to provide, but merely to put on. And its efficacy, or how well it works, it depends entirely upon the power of him who made it. Its purpose, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The grand enemy of the church is the devil, a superhuman tempter older than man. This language implies, one, the personal existence of Satan. How many believes he exists?
Yes.
His possession of immense resources of cunning and craft, his power to inject evil into the minds of saints, his great end to destroy the souls of men and the whole moral order of the world. I'd say he's doing a pretty good job. The possibility of resisting his wiles in the strength of the divine armor. Its necessity. This divine equipment is indispensable in the view of the serried ranks of evil, which are leagued against us under the leadership of Satan. Our conflict is not with feeble man. It is with fallen spirits. The language of the apostle implies, one, that these spirits have a hierarchy of their own of different orders. That their malignant activity is exercised in the world of men under the reign of darkness. That their moral character is wickedness. And that as Satan is the prince of the power of the air, they seem to have their abode or scene of their activity in the atmosphere that surrounds our earth. We need, therefore, to be strong and valiant in this warfare. One, because we are fighting for our life. Two, because though our enemies be strong, our captain is still stronger. Three, because nothing but cowardice can lose the victory. That's from James 4:7. And four, because if we conquer, we shall ride triumphantly into heaven. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. Pulpit commentary. The Lord add his blessing, the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come together once again here in the evening time, we're so thankful that we have this opportunity, that nothing's keeping us, even though, Lord, there are places around the world, places in our own country where people are not, they're not either lawfully allowed to assemble, or they're allowed to assemble in very small numbers, or other restrictions. But Lord, we so far we've been able to accommodate everyone that's had a desire to come and an ability to come, and so we're thankful for that, Lord. And we just we don't want to take anything for granted, and Lord, we want to take full advantage of what is being made available to us. To as we start on this first day of the week, Lord, as we prepare for the battles that lay ahead of us, we know that your word goes before us. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd anoint your word, that you'd anoint our hearts. Lord, that you'd anoint our thinking tonight so that the word can find its resting place, Lord, so it can settle in. And, Lord, that it will provide us with what we have need of when we go out and face the enemy this week, when we go out and face the world. Father, we're grateful for a refuge that you've given to us, a hidden place, Lord, that you've given to us where we're not being tormented, where we're not being thwarted, where we're not being anxious or doubtful. But Lord, it's a hidden place in you, in heavenly places, that the enemy knows nothing about. And we thank you, Lord, for that refuge. Now, Lord, as your word goes forth, we pray, Lord, that it go forth in power and in demonstration, and Lord, that it would live amongst us. And we give you all praise and honor and glory now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Jude chapter 1 verse 6 says, "And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitations, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under the darkness unto the judgment of the great day." So Paul makes it clear to us that we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Aren't you glad? I never was interested in a physical fisticuff match, and I'm still not interested in it, and I'm also not interested in finding out how I compare with other people and whether I'm better than them or whether I can best them. I have enough to contend with myself. So we know it isn't a flesh and blood battle, but it's ironic that that he chooses to describe the battle to us in terms of flesh and blood battles. And that's because these are things that we can relate to in this earthly realm. So wrestling, if you're not familiar with the sport of wrestling, wrestling is the act which pits one flesh man against another, whereby the conqueror is declared the winner when he gets his foe under him and holds him down with his hand on his foe's neck. That's how it used to be in the Olympics and for many, many years. And there are a couple of analogies that Paul is using in the very same lesson. First, he's no doubt seen wrestling matches that took place in the Roman arenas of the day. At that particular time, it was a time that was like our day, where sports were something that so many people focused on and looked forward to and bet on and spent their time on. And second, so the first, he's talking about wrestling matches. And second, he talks about armor that soldiers wore when they went out to battle to fight, not to wrestle. So he's mixing this armor. You don't wear armor when you wrestle. In fact, in a wrestling match, there was no armor worn at all. I don't know if I want to go further with this because of the images that come into your mind, but the Greeks wrestled wearing nothing at all. Brother Doug, I'm sure I don't want to wrestle against flesh and blood. That does it right there. The early Olympic wrestling matches were started in Greece and were done in Greek fashion. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word wrestle, once again, wrestling, a contest between two in which each endeavors to throw the other, and which is decided when the victor is able to hold his opponent down with his hand upon his neck. The term is transferred to the Christian struggle with the power of evil. When we consider, listen to this now, when we consider that the loser in a Greek wrestling contest had his eyes gouged out with resulting blindness for the rest of his days, we can form some conception of the Ephesian Greeks' reaction to Paul's illustration. The Christians wrestling against the power of darkness is no less desperate and no less fateful. So in the day that Paul wrote this, the loser in the arena in a wrestling match would have his eyes poked out. The loser would be blind from that point on. So this was a match that you didn't want to lose. And so is it with you and I in this day. We are fighting against spiritual powers of darkness. And if we lose, we are blind in Laodicea, and we are walking in darkness from that point on, from that time forward. And that's what happens when nominal Christians give up and let the power of darkness prevail over them. They become blind from that point on. Friends, we are equipped to win this battle. Well, I don't want to scare you. Nobody's going to poke your eyes out tonight, okay? We are equipped to win this battle, and a Christian that's born again of his spirit shall overcome the forces of darkness and shall hold his enemy down by his neck. Amen. So the other analogy that Paul uses is when he talks about the armor of God. We have been equipped to meet our enemy in battle. Right. But it's not a flesh battle, but it's a spiritual battle that you and I are in tonight. Our battle is over our position as a son or daughter of God. Our God-given position is a spiritual position first, and it is in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In our spirit realm, we reason, we think, we imagine, and we remember, and we have our affections. our likes and our dislikes, our feelings. And it is in this realm that our battle rages. The greatest fear in our day is losing your mind. And we see that many no longer have to fear that because it's become a reality to them. And that strikes fear. You know, I'm a lot more afraid of somebody that's crazy than somebody that's big and brawny and muscular and, you know, got all this. Because somebody that's crazy, you don't know what they're going to do. Because they don't know what they're going to do. The power of darkness still inhabits heavenly places. And a great battle is still raging in heavenly places. But our enemies are being cast down, and our enemies are being held down, and our enemies will eventually be banished once again from heavenly places. We read about in the book of Revelation, the accuser of the brethren is cast down. So our enemy wants to keep us from taking our position in Christ Jesus. That's his goal. And we got to keep that in mind, friends. That's what this battle is over. He doesn't want you to get back into the position that Adam once had, that Adam forfeited. Satan stepped into it. Satan doesn't want to, he doesn't want to leave that position. He doesn't want to vacate your position. And he doesn't want you to know that you have that position. And he has many fallen angels that he uses against the kingdom of light. And he has many, many tried and true tactics that he's used against man ever since the fall in the garden. And he's proven that those tactics are successful. And one of the greatest tactics that he uses is to get us to believe that our physical battle here on the earth is the battle that we're fighting in the day that we're living in. To get our eyes on physical things. He gets us looking at the flesh of a brother or of a sister or of a leader in the church or of our next door neighbor or our boss or a coworker. And friends, our enemy will try to draw us into a flesh and blood battle. We need to be on guard. We need to recognize. That's one of his fundamental tactics. And when he succeeds at that, then we will not be able to hold down our enemy because our enemy isn't flesh and blood. We are no match for the devil after the senses of the spirit. And our weapons that we use against the rulers of darkness are not physical. And guess what? They're not even spiritual, but they are weapons of the soul. Our defense and our offense against the rulers of darkness, they all involve the Word of God. And it is the Word that declares what's right. And it is the Word that declares what's wrong. And it is the Word that declares what is and what isn't. And our enemy has already been defeated by the Word. Jesus used nothing but the Word, but it was present tense Word. It was living Word. It was inspired Word. And he defeated his enemy. Our job then is to hold down our enemy until the time that the accuser of the brethren and his followers are finally cast down from heavenly places. So it's not your flesh and it's not your spirit that the rulers of darkness are ultimately after. If they're after your flesh, well, you know, good luck with it when it goes back into the soil. And your spirit, they don't get to control your spirit. It goes back to God. Right. What they're after is your soul. Right. What the war in heaven it revolves around is your soul. What's your soul worth? 10,000 worlds. So if our enemy can get us to fight flesh and blood, he's caused us to fight the wrong battle. And we leave our soul unprotected. It is so important that we heed Paul's instructions here and recognize where the real battle is taking place and what our enemies are trying to accomplish in the end. Satan wants to rule the souls of men. And when we stop and when we recognize for a moment what it is that's at stake, and what our enemy's tactics are, we should get a little attitude. And we should make sure we give no ground to our enemy. Oh, friends, we should recognize a mile away when Satan's trying to draw us into a flesh and blood battle. We know what a flesh and blood battle is. Mine. I had it first. How many like to see those kind of battles? We see them in little kids, and we think it's kind of harmless, but little kids grow up. Now they're taking them to court. Mine. If Satan, working through his fallen angels, can get us fighting against one another in church, for instance, well, then he'll just sit back, laugh his head off, because we're powerless against his forces. But if we can recognize what it is that he's trying to do, and instead arm ourselves with the word and withstand the rulers of darkness, our enemy will be defeated. Our enemy will come to the recognition that he already is defeated. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, when we think of sin and evil, we're always looking down below our feet and we're saying down in hell. But the heavens have been contaminated ever since man fell. Right. In fact, when Daniel prayed to the Lord, Daniel had a need and he prayed to the Lord. It was 21 days before help got to him. And when the angel came to him, said, you know, from the very moment that you began to cry out, from the very moment that you began to pray, I was sent. But then I had to press my way through this and press my way through that. And then I faced some horrendous angels. Had to get some help. Had to get some more senior angels involved. Right. But here we are to meet your need. That battle's still raging in heavenly places.
Right.
Brother Bram says, and take on the whole armor of God. He says, so when God, the first battle that was ever fought was not fought on the earth. It was fought in heaven. Michael and angels against Lucifer, and his angels against Lucifer. And they were kicked out of heaven. And then that great army of the devil and all of his imps fell upon the earth. And God knowed where there was going to be a battle. Now, they fell upon the earth, but where are they?
Right.
They're in another dimension.
Sure.
So our enemy tonight is not your husband, it's not your wife. Oh, you didn't know that? It's not your son, it's not your daughter, it's not the mailman. It's not flesh beings. Or I should say male person, sorry. We are in a visible realm. And so we understand physical battles.
Sure.
We can relate to physical analogies and physical images, because we've been facing that since we were born. But we aren't born in our first birth to recognize this spiritual realm. And so when somebody says something about us, we say something about them. Oh yeah? I know you are, but what am I? When somebody does something to us that we don't like, we let them know, or we do something back to them to even the score. This is in the natural. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Nobody had to teach you how to do this. Mine. I had it first. But the rulers of darkness in high places are what are behind these things. And they're causing us to battle one another rather than to battle against these powers. That's what politics is all about. Try to get one side against the other, and meanwhile something else is going on. Don't think about that. We understand a human fighting a human better than a spiritual son fighting a demon. And we become defeated when we take our part in a flesh and blood battle. Because God won't fight that battle. Somebody say amen. Smite them, Lord. Remember the sons of thunder? Bring, call the fire down and let them be struck with lightning. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. They come to lay hands on Jesus. You know, why is it? You ever wonder why Jesus told him to bring a sword? And then Jesus picks up a sword, or excuse me, Peter picks up a sword, swings it at the soldier that's going to arrest Jesus. The soldier moves his head out of the way and just manages to get his ear clipped. Jesus looks at Peter, shakes his head, picks up the ear, puts it back on, and says, Peter, we're not fighting against flesh and blood here. Right. Well, why'd you tell him to bring the sword? Right. So we could learn a lesson, I suppose. Hey, we'd have done the same thing if we were there. Right. Over my dead body. That's a flesh and blood battle. Jesus said, you know, if I was king right now of this fleshly dominion, my subjects would fight for me. But I'm of another kingdom. One that is to come. Again, Brother Bram says, the devil is a great force. The devil has a great power. And the devil is great in his power, but he's under the power of God. And the devil can only be one place at a time. Aren't you glad? His imps can be everywhere, scattered out, his demons, his co-workers. But God himself is alone in this field of omnipotence. Not an angel, but God himself. Hallelujah. God can be everywhere at once. He's not physically everywhere at once, but in his omniscience, he's omnipresent. He's all-knowing. Right. There's nothing that has escaped his thoughts. There's nothing that has escaped his vision.
Right.
So really, you know, we talk about the devil did this and this happened and then the devil did that, but we really aren't facing the devil himself one-on-one in battle, because he can only be one place at one time. We are wrestling with lesser demons. Now, I'm not making light of these lesser demons, because some of these lesser demons have a lot of power. But they are lesser fallen angels than the angel of light, Lucifer himself. But that's not to say that we should underestimate them.
Right.
Just that there is a hierarchy here. No, there are certain demons that rule over nations. There are certain demons that rule over cities and so on. There are certain ones that have attached themselves to our family tree.
Right.
And they have become so familiar to us that without the new birth, we might think that that's who or what we are. And that's who or what a nation is. And that's how nations are turned against nations. That's how races are turned against races. That's how the Hatfields are forever feuding with the McCoys. That's how the Republicans and the Democrats are pitted once against another. There are demons that are assigned to those different things. So who are we wrestling against, friends? If we could see a demon tonight, we'd probably be afraid. And we certainly wouldn't want anything to do with that demon. But if that demon was to anoint someone or anoint us and show us a flaw in somebody else, or let somebody say something to us about somebody else, then the next thing that we know, we might say something to somebody else, and then bad feelings develop, and then our eyes are on one another. And the whole time, it was demons that were behind the whole thing. Wow, is it quiet? And then we become disunified, and we become out of fellowship, and we distrust, and we doubt, and we think evil thoughts, and so on and so forth. And our enemies in high places, they remain in high places, and we remain as their slaves because we're carrying out their work. Now, none of us, I am convinced tonight, friends, none of us would get caught up in this if we could actually see the demon forces that are behind the scenes that are causing all of this, we'd look and say, aha, I ain't going for that one. This is your work. This is not the work of the Lord. Go use somebody else. We're wasting our time when we fight people. We're wasting our time when we fight political battles. We're wasting our time when we promote social agendas and fight social agendas. Stop this, start that. There's demons behind all of that. And we're losing the war when we do that, because our battle is in the realm of our soul, or our weapons are in the realm of our soul, and it's our soul that our enemy is after. So we need to recognize that we can put a stop to things that have run through our families. Things that are hanging on the family tree, we can stop it. Grandpa had a temper. Dad had a temper. I got a temper. Get born again. Put a stop to it. Satan is cunning. Satan is wily. The wiles of the devil, the cunningness, the craftiness, the deceitfulness. And he's had 6,000 years now of practice using these tactics. But greater is he that is in thee than he that is in the world. So friends, we've been equipped tonight. Not just to stand, not to just make it, but to overcome our enemies in our day. How many believes that? And we need to recognize that Satan and his demons cannot be in more than one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit can and is in many places and in many people at the same time. Again, Brother Branham says, so the infinite God, he's going to choose for his army the best weapon that could be given. And he chose it, and it was his word. God gave his army the best equipment that it could ever use and ever could use and would never have to be changed. And he's never changed it since. You don't improve on it. It remains the same all the time. It's God's word that he fortified his people with. No matter how many things Satan ever gets, how many things any other army ever gets, or anything, it can never take the place of God's first choice, which is his word. He gave them his word, his promise, and said, stay with it, the best that could be known. He is his word. And his living word is his living presence amongst us. And his word can rule over our hearts. And his word can rule over the world at the same time. The battles that you and I fight today, they're not the same battles of other ages. Even though it's still the same war. No, the word is time released. It's released in each age, and the purpose of its release is to combat the rulers of darkness in high places, and then a battle follows. What starts the war in every age is God sending his word. Are you listening? It's not God sending it like, help, you know, they need some help. No, God sends his word first, and then the enemy comes up against that standard. So the battle is always a result of the word being made manifest. And the word illuminated in this age is not the light of days gone by. And we're not critical at all of the light of days gone by. It's just that's not the tool. That's not the word that we need for this particular moment in time. I am not fighting Luther's battle in this age. So I don't need to emphasize the just shall live by faith and hold on to that more than any other scripture, because that's already been fulfilled. Again, he says, now the enemy knowed as long as the human race stayed with that word, he'd never be able to touch them. Oh, friends. He says, now I'm beginning to feel religious right now. As long as the human race stayed with the word, God fortified his family on the earth, his army, in the fort of his word. That is our fortress. The name of the Lord is a mighty tower.
Amen.
The righteous shall run into it and are saved. They are fortified.
Amen.
The Lord is the word. They are in there fortified and safe forevermore as long as the human race stays in the word. As long as the church stays in the word, it's fortified. There's nothing that's going to bother it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, friends, maybe you don't believe this tonight, but Satan does.
Right.
Satan knows this is the truth. He's been defeated by the word. And he knows that the word held in the arm of faith, the right word in due season, it'll defeat him anytime, any place, and under any circumstance. He knows that.
Right.
He just doesn't want you to know that.
Right.
Now, he knows how to defeat a Christian. The way to defeat a Christian is get him away from the word.
Sure.
And he's got something that's custom fit for every one of our natures.
Right.
Now, if we're going to use the word to defeat Satan and his enemies, what portion do we use? Well, we use the portion that is illuminating in our day. It must be the word, the living word, or word in due season. I can't fight against the powers of darkness today by applying the word for Noah's day. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. No, it's not. Hasn't rained in how long? Obviously, that's not working. I can't fight against cancer with the just shall live by faith. The word is what I apply in order to accept my salvation. So the word that we apply is the word for our day. And God provides the word that we need in the day that we're living. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now that was when had that word ever been spoken before?
Right.
This is the first time. Why was it spoken then? Because that's what they needed.
Amen.
So we know the setting here tonight. The children of Israel, they're backed up against the Red Sea. They look like they're trapped. And the battle that they face, it's now different than the previous battles that they faced in Egypt.
Right.
Although they face the same enemy. It's always the same enemy, but it's a different tactic. It's a different battle. Notice, Moses doesn't say, all right, hold on, guys. I'll just throw down my staff. Now, he did that before. When the other priests threw down their staff. And he threw down his staff. And then his staff turned into a serpent. His turned into a serpent. His serpent swallowed their serpent. Then he picked up the staff. Okay, but that's already done. That worked before, but it wasn't the word for this particular battle.
Amen.
Well, I'll just turn the Red Sea into blood. Well, what's that going to accomplish? Might be kind of nice to see the red tide, but... Well, I'll just speak more flies into existence. Okay, it'll be irritating, but I don't think it'll stop the Egyptians. I got it. I'll run around and shout and dance. There's a time and a place for that too. But the Egyptians would not be stopped by that. No, the word for that battle was the word in due season. And it came from God. They didn't need to apply the token or eat a lamb or put blood on a doorpost. No, the instruction for this battle was, don't do anything. Whew. How's that going to work? Hold your peace. Well, wait a minute. Looks like this could be a flesh and blood battle. Nope. The Lord will fight your battle. But at Jericho, it's an entirely different word for that battle. Now they're told to blow the trumpet, shout. After marching around, march around six times. Don't make a sound. March around seven times. March around seven times. The last time, shout, blow the trumpet. Different word, different battle.
Amen.
Our entire walk, friends, is learning to speak as he gives utterance.
Amen.
That's why we can't just listen to the tapes. Because it's not... Yes, it's a storehouse. Yes, there's manna that's laid up. But what manna, what word are we to use tomorrow? What word are we to use right now?
Right.
So our entire walk is learning to speak as he gives utterance in due season. We're learning to lean. And we're learning to apply the word in our time of trouble. And we're learning to rely upon the Lord to give us that word in due season. That's why we come to church. That's why we come for the hearing of the word. That's why you come and say, Lord, I have a question. I'm looking for leadership. I'm looking for a direction. Show me. And the word comes. And the minister, the pastor, has no idea. But he does. We're learning to apply the word in our time of trouble. And there's a word, friends, for every situation. And there's a word for every obstacle in our lives. If we could just have confidence in that tonight. Every obstacle, every trial, every situation, there's a word. Satan will not respond to our feelings. Satan will not respond to our emotions. Satan will not give up because you gave up. He doesn't care if you yell at him or not. He's not impressed with that either. There's a word for every situation, and it's nothing to our God. His word gains the preeminence, and he gets the glory. Exodus 15:1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath thrown them into the sea. Oh, man. Wouldn't you have loved to have heard that song as they're singing that song and shouting and giving glory? They see the horse and the rider swallowed up. They see their taskmasters being swallowed up, and they sing a new song. They sing a song that matches their situation. They sing a song that matches the word that went forth. They sing a song that matches their revelation. And the singing was not to one another, but it was unto the Lord. And it's a song of what God is presently doing and what he will yet do. Verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Now, God proved that he was a man of war. But part of this is prophecy, because we don't see a man of war. What we see is a God going to war with the Egyptians. But we don't see him fully as a man of war until Jesus Christ is on the scene. So imagine how they got caught up in this song as they're singing it. God is the one that was being attacked. And God was the one that fought the battle.
Amen.
He sent his word. And his enemy was scattered.
Right.
Psalm 24, verse 8. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle.
Amen.
One of God's names is Jehovah Sabaoth, which means the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, a title that's used 285 times in the Old Testament. He is the Lord, friends.
Amen.
God is a God of peace, and yet he's a man of war. And he reflects these attributes in various battles that are written about in the scriptures. Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Exodus 17:15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah is my banner. The name given by Moses to the altar which he built in commemoration of the discomfiture of the Amalekites. The discomfiture made them uncomfortable. The Amalekites were whipped. And they built an altar to commemorate that. But it was the Lord that was mighty in battle. Worship again, friends. But it's a song that's fitting for the current battle. We must fight as we walk in the present light, as he is in the light. And we can only overcome in this manner. If not, we will be overcome. We can't ever relax. We can't ever sit back in life's journey and say, I have arrived. You haven't arrived. You're still in a battle. And if you're still in a battle, you need the word. You need a specific word for a specific time, for a specific situation. So that means you've got to be seeking the Lord's leadership in every day. You've got to be looking for the word of the Lord for your situation every day. Our enemy knows that he's facing the word. And so our enemy wants to keep us from the word of the hour. He's got many ways of trying to do that. Distraction. Keep you occupied, shed some doubt. Satan fears this message. He saw what it did just in the life of the messenger. Imagine what it'll do in a many-membered body. He knows he has to back up to the living word made manifest. He knows that. But do we know that tonight? Do we realize the tactics of our warfare against the powers of darkness in high places? Psalm 60, verse 4. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. That word banner, it means something lifted up, a standard, an ensign, a standard, a rallying point. It's something that you rally around. It's not a political rally. It's a rally of sons and daughters of God around the living word. This would be the rallying point, and it would be the identification of the company. You would be identified by your banner. You would be identified by your rallying point. Our rallying point, friends, is the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word. And he's still our help in our time of trouble. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 4. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me is love. We know that God is love. Isaiah 13, 2. Lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Exalt the voice unto them. Shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. So a banner is a rallying point, and this is the name of the Lord being made manifest for the first time at that time. Friends, we must know him in the present. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth that walked the shores of Galilee 2,000 years ago, well, the devil knows more about that than we do. He was there. But it's the word that's with us right now. It's the same one, but he's manifesting another portion of his word. It's living word, and Satan has to back up. Exodus 17:15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So in other words, God declared war on a people. On a generation of people even. Deuteronomy 1:30. The Lord your God, which goes before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Deuteronomy 3:22. Ye shall not fear them, for the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Friends, these apply today just as much as they applied then. Deuteronomy 20, verse 2. And it shall be, when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. Really, a priest? Come on. We don't need no stinking preacher. No, there will be a sermon preached that the people will hear before facing the enemy. And you're hearing things right now that are equipping you for tomorrow. It won't be a priest taking them through past experiences, except maybe to encourage. But it'll be a sermon, a message, a living word, preparing them for a present day battle. Deuteronomy 20, verse 3. And shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye shall approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble. Neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Who are your enemies tonight? My boss. No, your boss is not your enemy. My wife. Who's your enemy? The devil. Spirits, powers, principalities on high. And that is what is needed at that moment in time for that battle that they would face. Now, what if a priest stood and said, oh, Brother Joel, things are getting so dark. Oh, I can't see. And you know what? We don't want to offend anybody. So we're only going to speak in general terms, and we'll kind of wink, wink, nod, nod. You know, we're not going to be able to do this, so, you know, let's just do our best, and let's just sing Amazing Grace and believe what God once did. Could we rally around a banner of fear? Could we rally around a banner of compromise? I'd rather die in battle than back up to the present darkness in our day. Friends, I'm convinced. Amen. I don't care what comes against us. COVID's doing whatever it's doing. I don't care what comes against us. Nothing is going to stop this army. Amen. Nothing is going to defeat us. Amen. Nothing is going to cause us to compromise. Amen. Nothing is going to stop this army. Amen. We're headed towards a rapture. We're headed towards a body change. And there's a people on the face of the earth that are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And it's going to take a word to cause that to take place. And nothing's going to stop that. What they needed was encouragement for what they were facing. That's what we need today too. You can do it. You can do it. Come on. Yes. We'll tell you the story of Joshua fighting the battle of Jericho. But the reason why we tell you is because Joshua was facing his battle. Now you're facing yours. Amen. And the God that fought that battle is the God that's with you tonight. Amen. They needed a sure and living word. Guess what? We need a sure and living word too. Amen. A present tense God. One that we know. That's moving amongst us now. Amen. That's speaking now. Not a statue, not a silent God, not a quote book, but a living God.
Amen.
We need a message called, Do You Fear Cancer? And that message says, Fear not.
In an age when men's hearts are failing for fear, which the Bible says that would be the characteristic of this age, we needed messages that said, fear not, for the Lord is with thee. Israel was proven by other nations, friends. Other nations that still dwelled in Israel after they took the land. Judges chapter 3, verse 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them. Even as many of Israel had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know, to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Excuse me. Namely, five lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites, that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath, and they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandment of the Lord, which commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So here are these people, generations later, that knew about what God did in bringing their forefathers into the land. You know, it might be kind of like some of us that know what God did in 1960 or 1950 or 1940. But a lot of you weren't even alive yet. So what they needed to know was the living God in their day. And they would be proven by the message of their day. They had no more to fear than Moses did. And the people did at the Red Sea. Because the same God that was with them at the Red Sea is the same God that's with us tonight. Amen. So we need to recognize, friends, that the same God is with us, just as he was with Moses. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 29. And the fear of God was upon all the kingdoms of those countries, when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So that the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Psalm 18, verse 34, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Psalm 144, verse 1, a psalm of David, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, and my fingers to fight. Oh, but Brother Baker, Christians are peaceniks. No, those are hippies. Peace, brother. Far out, man. Peace out, dude. The devil doesn't move. Psalm 68, verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm or a song of David, let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. God has enemies. Psalm 68, 21. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. Isaiah 42, 13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. The captain of the host roars, friends. Amen. So if he's roaring, I know where my place is. It's right behind him. Or maybe beside him. But my place is not before him, where the cowards water down what he roars and turns it into meow. We stand with our banner of truth. Our banner of truth goes before us and scatters our enemy, defeats our enemy, conquers our enemy. Amen? Amen. Isaiah 66, 14. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. God help me to stay off of that list. You know, I might be on a lot of other lists, But I sure don't want to be on that list. Nahum, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Nahum 1:8. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. God doesn't leave us in darkness, friends, but he set us free to walk in the light. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So we're not walking in darkness. We were. But we're walking in the light. We are children of the day, not of the night. Friends, we get scared in the night. But we're not walking in darkness. We're walking in light. And it scatters, it drives fear away. We're not night owls, but we're evening light eagles. John chapter 12, verse 36. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. How many believes we have light? Yes. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Thank God, friends, for the living word made manifest. The light of the world and of the kingdom of heaven. That light is still here. So let's bring it up here in closing. Let's bring it up here to something in our day, something that took place in our day. The word for our day was put on trial. Actually, there were several messages that were preached, a trial, a court trial, you know, where the Brother Branham showed both sides, and here's the prosecution, and the prosecution saying this, and this is the defense. But the word wasn't defeated. There was no fault found in it. Nobody dared come up and stand by his right side and show him where he was wrong. The word was proven in our day to be the word. And the truth continues to go on before us. Listen to this. This prophecy about Brother Branham, 11th commandment book. Brother Branham had just finished preaching the sermon, We Would See Jesus, and the audience was in profound silence, nay, not one moved, nor a whisper heard. When God was about to speak, he calls a holy hush. Even Brother Branham, who had been speaking softly, suddenly stopped. Then all of a sudden, a voice was heard from the far balcony. There was no need of a microphone, for God opened each ear, as it seemed. The airwaves carried it plainly to the ear and heart of all present. Let me quote it exactly, word for word, as recorded on my tape recorder. Yea, saith the Lord to this my people, that my servant whom I have sent, even unto thee, even unto this generation, he must speak boldly, even as Paul, to convince these that I have sent him to. Yea, for I have sent him, my servant Branham. I have put my words in his mouth. Even as I have sent my son to die and my people rejected him, even so have I sent my son Branham, even in this thy day, unto these he hath come. Yea, they have assembled together. They have met in their secret chambers. The leaders of my people have counseled together. They have passed judgment even upon him. They have said in their secret chambers, we shall reject him. We shall seek a fault with him. We shall find many faults with him. We shall teach our people. We shall tell them that this also is Beelzebub. Yea, it is not the Spirit of the Lord that hath sent him. So I will judge them, even by my servant Branham, whom I have sent unto thee. For I will put my spirit into my servants, and if thou doth not yield to my spirit, notice this, I will put my spirit into my servants, right. Plural. Right. I will put my, not tape machine, I will put my spirit into my servants, right. Plural. If thou doth not yield to my spirit, thou shalt be broken. But if thou shalt fall, if it shall fall upon thee, if the word of the Lord shall fall upon thee, thou shalt be crushed, and thy house left unto thee desolate. This is the rock. Yea, if thou shalt fall upon it, thou shalt be broken. But if it doth fall upon thee, it will grind thee to powder. And thus saith the Lord, even unto those who have assembled together, thus saith the Lord unto them, unto those that call themselves by those who have been filled with my spirit, for ye have been my people. I have blessed thee, I have anointed thee, but thou hast gathered together and hast rejected the servant of the Lord God that I have sent unto thee. And even by sending him will I judge thee, and thy house shall be desolate even in this day and in this hour, for thou shalt call for revival, but the ear of the Lord shall not hearken unto thee. For when I did call unto thee, thou didst not know me. Thou wouldest be a strange people unto me, when I would speak unto thee. Yea, thou hast become even as my people, when I stood and cast out devils, and healed the sick, and broke bread, and multiplied it in thine eyes. Thou hast said, he has a devil. But unto him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, what saith the Spirit unto the churches. For I will speak unto thee, I will send my servants, plural, unto thee, and they shall bless thee, and thou shalt be gathered unto me. Thou shalt be blessed mightily as thou hast never been. Thou shalt be blessed mightily as thou hast never been. Friends, that's already true for me. I'm already blessed like I never have been.
Amen.
And there's more. Cast from thee the thinking of men and the ways of men and turn to the Lord.
Amen.
Don't start another denomination. That says we're right and everybody else is wrong. No, separate from that kind of thinking and from the ways of men and turn to the Word for your day.
Amen.
This was in 1960, and that was the Word for that time. I will send my servants unto thee. That still applies today, friends. Cast from thee the thinking of men and the ways of men, and turn to the Lord. Let's stand. The evening light. Musicians, if you'd make your way, please. I personally don't know what everybody's going through, but we're all going through something. We're not just marking time. We're in a battle. But I know that the Lord knows. Friends, we've got to go from thinking about, oh, Lord, look upon my situation and fight my battle and look upon. He knows that because it's his battle.
Amen.
It's not your battle. It's his battle.
Right.
He is defeating his enemy in this day. But he's using you.
Amen.
He knew before the foundation of the world that you'd be here tonight.
Amen.
And he knew that his enemy would be here.
Amen.
And he knew what word. You know, the scripture says a word fitly spoken are apples of silver and pictures of gold. It's the right word at the right time in the right season. It's living word. And Satan and his angels have to back up. This is the final part of this battle before the millennium when Satan and his angels are bound. But they have to be cast down first. And we're living in the time of the casting down of Satan and his angels. And the reason why there's a casting down taking place is because there's a people moving back into their position. There's a people taking their place, their position as sons and daughters of God in heavenly places. Brother Branham said that's the position of the believer. It's you speaking by faith the word and watching it manifest. It's not you fighting the battle. It's God giving you the word, and then it's the word fighting the battle. And it'll defeat the enemy anytime, any place, any circumstance. That you can't lose, friends. Oh, sure. The battle when it's hot and heavy. When we get turned around and twisted around and we're tired and we've just recovered from this or recovered from that. We get overwhelmed. But God's not nervous. God's not wringing his hand. He's just waiting for you to settle down. Call upon him. And he'll give you the word that you have need of. You may think that what you're going through right now is unique. And you may think that nobody's ever faced it, or maybe you can never get past it. Or maybe it's concerning a loved one, and you think they'll never get past it. Don't you think God knows that? Don't you think he knows the situation, what you're facing? Oh, surely he does, friends. He wants to prove himself that he's mighty in battle. He wants to prove that his word still overcomes, that his word still has power. He wants to put his enemy into he wants his enemy to be cast down. Satan and all of his angels. Ultimately, death itself is being conquered and put into its place. Death is the greatest thing that man fears. So if death is put into its place, everything under it is conquered, friends. Do you realize the privilege that you have here tonight? You're living in an age where you can't lose. Every word that you have need of has been given to us. It's time for us to call upon the name of the Lord. It's time for us to say, Lord, I need a word for the season that I'm going through. I need your leadership, Lord. And I know that your word will defeat whatever's standing in my way. I know that there's nothing that can stand. I have confidence, Lord. You've proven it. You took a man with a 7th grade education that would have been a murderer, would have been a drunk. And you showed that devil. You gave him your word. And that devil was defeated at every corner, every turn. That same one is here tonight, friends. And he's still a serpent bruiser. He's still defeating his enemy. He's still fighting a battle. This is the greatest and hottest battle, but Satan and his kingdom are coming down. Satan is defeated. Oh, friends. But we've got to call upon the name of the Lord in faith, believing. We've got to call upon him in our time of trouble, in our time of need. We've got to look to him. We've got to yield to him. We've got to put away every idea of fighting a battle ourselves. We've got to avoid anything having to do with flesh and blood. We've got to avoid the entanglements that Satan will put before us, the traps, flesh and blood traps. That's not our battle. And we've not been promised anything concerning those battles. But it's spirits and powers that are behind these things. Friends, you realize one way that you can overcome more in your life? This is offense. It's not defense. Get up and create an atmosphere. And recognize that you've been promised that if you create that atmosphere around you and walk in it, it's going to affect other people. It's going to affect the situation that you're in. You don't have to be overcome. Create that atmosphere and walk in it. Walk with him. Let his word have the preeminence. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we're so thankful for your words of promise, your unfailing realities of your living word. We're so thankful, Lord, that you've equipped us. Completely equipped us in this day for what we're facing. But Lord, we need to call upon you. We need to say, Lord, let it be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Be it unto me according to thy word. We need to call upon you in our time of need. We need to recognize that the battle is yours. It's not our battle. It's not. We didn't start it, and we're not going to finish it. Your word is fighting our battles. Your word is going before us. Lord, whether it be for our family members, whether it be for a job situation, whether it be for a friend, a loved one, whatever it might be, whether it be something in our daily walk, our relationships, Lord, give us the word that we have need of. You're mighty in battle. Lord, we have full confidence that the right word will defeat our enemy, will change the circumstances. It'll take the hardest heart and turn it into putty. It can take the hardest man and turn him into a child. Oh God, we look to you tonight. We call upon you, Lord. There's mothers that are calling upon you tonight, Lord. There's mothers that have, Lord, looking for an answer. And Lord, your answer is on the road tonight. You'll not leave them hanging, Lord. You'll not leave them powerless. In fact, Lord, we know that they're one of the most powerful things there is on the face of the earth is a mother's prayer. Lord, we know that even after you take a mother off the scene, Lord, if it's something that you're not going to, that it's in due season, that you're not going to answer right then, that prayer of that mother is still before you. And you hear it, it's sweet incense before your throne. And Lord, you'll bankrupt heaven before you allow one of those answers, those prayers to go unanswered. We have that confidence tonight, Lord. We have that confidence that there's a word for whatever we have need of, for whatever we're going through. We have that confidence, Lord, that we can have peace in any situation, that we can have rest no matter what we're going through. Lord, that there's no sickness that can defeat us. Lord, that there's no situation that can keep us from your love. Lord, that there's no angel from hell that can keep us from overcoming in this hour. Lord, we look to you. We call upon you in our time of need. Lord, I pray that you'd move upon every heart. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each and every one that's crying out to you in faith, Lord. Maybe you've already spoken to them in the service. Maybe you've already given them the answer that they have need of on this day. Lord, we get texts all the time, and people say they had questions, and they were answered in the service. And Lord, we had no idea about their questions, and we still have no idea about their answer, but we trust, and we believe, and we know that's how you work. Lord, I pray that you'd move on every heart tonight. I pray that every heart would be touched, Lord. I pray that each and every one of us would reach out, Lord. Lord, just in our time of need, Lord, there's needs in the body, no doubt. Each and every one of us. Lord, rather than complaining about it, rather than crying about it, rather than commiserating with one another and holding the memorial services over it, Lord, may we instead step forward today and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you to come on the scene of my time of need. I need a word for my situation. Lord, you're faithful. Lord, you're just. Lord, you're the great and mighty conqueror. Lord, we know that your word will go before us and roar as a mighty roaring lion. And Lord, I almost feel sorry for whatever's standing before you. But Lord, they've had their chance. They could have repented, but instead they haven't. And now, Lord, they'll face the consequences. Lord, we need you tonight. We look to you. You're the author, the finisher of our faith, and everything in between. Now, Lord, may you receive honor and glory. May we each one step forward. May we come a little higher in you, Lord, calling upon you, believing, Lord, that you're going to meet our need, that you're going to answer our prayer. I just want to thank you already, Lord. I want to thank you in advance because I know answers are on the way. I know victories are right around the corner. I know, Lord, that there are things that are going to change before us. I know that our enemy has to back off and give way to the word. So, Lord, I thank you in advance. And, Lord, I'm looking for testimonies. I pray that your blessings would be upon each and every one now, Lord. I pray that our faith would rise to the occasion. If not now, then when, Lord? Won't you grant it tonight? Father, we give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. Change my heart. Change my heart, O I need you, Lord. I need you.